The path of jnana in Kali Yuga, Bhakti Yoga is the most successful process. This is the final conclusion. So he is making a comparison between the path of jnana, path of karma, and path of varnashrama, and path of ashtanga yoga in Kali Yuga. So the jnana path, he is saying, depends on the association of devotees in order to turn it towards bhakti. One should be in sattvaguna practice to practice jnana. That means jnana cannot be practiced without being in sattvaguna. And then one has to take the aid of bhakti to advance in jnana also. Whereas in Kali Yuga, people are corrupted by rajoguna and tamoguna, and sattva does not prevail. Instead of devotees, one finds imposters. So the path of jnana becomes very difficult. Like that he says. So two things in jnana. One is, one's practice should be in sattvaguna. And also one has to take aid of bhakti to further and further progress in jnana, and one doesn't find circumstances favorable for cultivating jnana, he says. Then the path of karma depends on the activity performed without desire, which is offered to Lord selflessly, which turns into bhakti. Whereas in Kali Yuga, instead of selfless activity which is required for purification of heart, one is greedy for material enjoyment. So Kali Yuga is characterized by greed for material enjoyment. So selfless activity without any desire is very rarely to be found. So karma is difficult, he says, karma yoga. And path of varnashrama depends on a solid state with the rules of varna and ashrama stabilized. And the purpose of varnashrama is to elevate people from tamoguna and rajoguna to sattvaguna. Whereas in Kali Yuga, the people are lazy, unintelligent, affected by disease and short-lived. So they usually get stuck with one guna and will not get out from that guna. Like somebody is in tamoguna, he doesn't rise to rajoguna or sattvaguna. So the varnashrama is also not very helpful, he says. And the path of ashtanga yoga in Kali Yuga depends on sense control by stopping the activity of the senses over sense objects through the process of vairagya and mind control. Whereas in Kali Yuga, the people are most fallen and are absorbed in materialism, which is very unfavorable because Maya takes one in the opposite directions of material energy to enjoy the material world, while our goal is to attain the Supreme Lord. So he is concluding, therefore these processes of varnashrama, jnana, karma and yoga are all failure in Kali Yuga. But the process of bhakti yoga is most successful for the people of Kali Yuga, and it is most pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And it is very easy and very practical to perform in Kali Yuga because the reasons we earlier discussed. Bhakti does not depend on any other processes since it is internal. So anybody, a shudra or a woman or a chandala or a sannyasi or a householder, can have great attraction to the Lord and become a great devotee of the Lord. That is why it is said, bhog karma ke dwara prapta kiya ja sakta hai, lekin bhakti iccha ke dwara prapta kiya ja sakta hai. That is the difference between bhog and bhakti. In this world, one who wants sense enjoyment, he has to work very hard to accumulate objects of enjoyment and to maintain the objects and to make his best efforts to increase his enjoyment as much as he can, which is thwarted by so many agents in this world. Whereas bhakti, we don't need anything to do bhakti. All we need is only iccha, just desire. So, and that ability to desire is there in the living entity. In fact, you will see the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma projjida kaitavatra paramo nirmatsaranam satam Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatra yonmulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krite kimva parairi ishwaraha sadyohridivate tarud sadyohridiyava avarudyate trakritubihi susrosabhistakshanat. In this verse, three times the word atra, atra, atra is used. The first line it says, dharma projita kaitava Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Sata. It says this path of Bhakti Yoga will render one's heart completely free from malice or any envy for other living beings. And also it kicks away all the lower forms of petty dharmas in which the jiva is stuck. And this is the first blessing. And second blessing he says, Vedyam Vastava Matra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. This is a very auspicious path. Shiva means auspicious. It's a very auspicious path because it uproots the threefold miseries. That is the second blessing. Again he says Atra. Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam, he says. Then he says, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimbaparaireshwaraha Sadyo Hridiyava Rudyatetra. Again he says Atra. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel of all the scriptures because it teaches bhakti for the Supreme Lord. And he says, what other scripture is required? He says. Simply by practicing this, he says, and engaging in devotion service, kritbihi, shushrushubihi, kritbihi. Two words are used. One should hear it attentively and engage in devotion service diligently without any laziness. And then he says, tatshanat. The word tatshanat means instantly. Immediately the devotion service is awakened in the heart of the practitioner, it is said. Of course, which has to be further matured and solidified and developed, you know, which might take some time. But tatshanat means if one takes to the path of devotion service headed by the chanting of the holy name, instantly the Lord starts reciprocating with that devotee. The Lord is just waiting to see this one small ichcha, desire in the heart of the jiva. When that desire is expressed, immediately Lord springs into action as super soul, you know, giving the wisdom to the devotee, giving facilities for performing devotional service, sending the guidance, external guidance that comes through the agency of Guru. All that is made possible by the super soul. When super soul just sees this one small tiny desire in the jiva's heart, but the jiva considers doing devotional service immediately. That is why he is saying the path of Bhakti Yoga is glorious and it doesn't have any other agents that we have to depend upon, like Varnashrama, Jnana, Karma, Yoga and all of them. But the chanting of the holy name should not be done blindly or mechanically or mindlessly. It should be done expressing our desire to want to advance in devotional service. We should express our desire to become purified in our heart. We should express our desire to offer Guru and Krishna a better quality of devotion, better quality of submissiveness, better quality of surrender, better quality of selfless service. So if that desire is not expressed, then we never come to Namabhas. The cleansing takes place only in Namabhas stage, not in Aparadhana. In Aparadhana, we get only Ajnata Sukruti. If we blindly chant, we get very little progress. Say, 1 unit or 2 units. If you chant with Namabhas, expressing a sincere desire to want to surrender and attain Krishna's lotus feet very strongly, then it's like 1,000 count or 5,000 count. That much purification takes place. So purification will be very fast in Namabhas. And for Namabhas, we need Ichcha or Abhilasha. Without that Abhilasha, the super soul will not help us. Because super soul will think that we are uninterested in attaining Krishna's lotus feet. And probably we have some more independently enacted program plans to be done in the material world. So he will guide us in that direction. Okay, chalo, go in that direction. But if a devotee expresses the desire, and the desire is actually expressed through the agency of prayers, that great Vaishnava Acharyas have expressed very beautifully. Even though we don't know how to pray, we can learn from them and pray. And then the path of Bhakti Yoga will become very easy and very swift in bringing the devotee to close to the lotus feet of Krishna. Harinam Prabhu ki.